Well, good afternoon. You're listening to A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble. And it's kind of a cold progressive life right now. I hope you're all well. And we're going to have kind of a one of those shows where I'm going to talk about everything. I spent some time last night with my puppy on the couch thinking of all the different things that I wanted to talk about throughout the past. I've been here over a year now. It's kind of hard to imagine. And so I wrote them all down, and we'll sort of scatter shoot at them. I did want to express our sorrow at hearing that Marge Hazlett had passed. Apparently they're going to have their visitations Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the First United Church of Christ, which is at 930 Harding Memorial Parkway. The funeral will be at noon, so she will be sorely missed by the people here at WWGH. Anyway, and we had a call in today for Swap Shop, and I have to remind you that the Swap Shop is on Thursdays, not Wednesdays. Wednesdays I do A Progressive Life, and then on Thursday we do Swap Shop at same time frame, 12:15 to 1 o'clock, and we'd love to have you call in and sell some of your tchotchkes or announce some of your events that are going on, if they're for like clubs that are non-profit type things, and we'd love to have those. I don't know. Let's start off with the elephant sitting right in the middle of the room today. As you know, I've been a progressive. We've talked about it for years, way before it was popular. And my mother and father, who were Republicans, were also progressives. So it's kind of interesting. But back in the day, it was not something that was, ballyhooed, I guess, so much. Progressive just means you look forward rather than backward. My mother used to say, we live in the now. And you aren't who you were. I always thought that was a pretty good idea. Live in the now, and you aren't what you were. You are who you are. So hang in there. But the elephant in the room was obviously last night's message from the president. I did not listen. I have a very difficult time listening to him. I did listen to all the talking heads talking about it this morning. I try to listen to both the right wing and the left wing, it was kind of difficult listening both ways. The big question seemed to pop up: was it right for Pelosi to rip the speech in half? I understood why she did. I'm not sure it was very wise, because she knew darn well that everybody would be watching that, and there would be lots of comments about it. And by the way, if you have a comment about anything that we talk about today, give us a call, 740-383-9944. Let me give you that number one more time. Just get the pencil out. I'll give you a couple seconds here. Make sure you get the pencil out. And if you decide you want to call in, feel free. The number is 740-383-9944. One of the reasons, I guess, she decided to rip it up is the president was very rude to her prior to that by not shaking her hand when she put her hand out. I tried to watch in some of the takes that I saw on the different networks that I watched this morning. Her eyes looked angry throughout Maybe I misread that, but she did look angry, and I'm not sure whether it was angry because she was snubbed by the president with the handshake, or whether she was angry because obviously the Republicans have decided not to do absolutely nothing about the president's corruptness. And I don't care what you say, there is corruptness there. And even the Republicans are admitting it, but they're saying things like it doesn't rise to the level of impeachment, or it's okay, the president can do that sort of thing. I guarantee you, if Obama had done something like this president did, they would have been screaming to high heaven. One of the things I kind of figured out about Democrats or more progressive people is they tend to understand, I guess, a little bit better that things are continually moving and that things aren't black and white all the time. Matter of fact, I think I did a show where I talked about a study that's been done about the difference between the conservative mind and the liberal mind. And the conservative mind tends to be more black and white, tends to be more fight or flight. And the liberal mind tends to be more laissez-faire, laid back. I think that kind of shows up in our policy now, currently, through the administration and also through the Democratic side. You can kind of see the two different sides of things. Matter of fact, I got criticized on Facebook. I rarely worry about that. Yesterday I posted, I rarely, if ever, share anything, but I happened to get a picture of a, I think it was Gethsemane, I'm not sure what church it was, but it was a Church of Christ. And you know how they have those big signs out front that tell you when the sermon is and stuff like that. And you, during the week, they usually put up some sort of cute or meaningful expression. Well, this one said something to the effect, I side with Jesus. He stood for the poor, the sick, the immigrant. Shouldn't we side with Jesus or something like that? And I got one, a local minister, Facebooked me and said, yeah, but he didn't have, he couldn't count on the Romans to help him out. He had to do it all himself. Well, I didn't see on that sign anything about the Romans to start with, and it didn't even cross my mind. But now see, because he saw that, he's thinking about it in a different way than I was thinking about it. Doesn't mean he's wrong. Doesn't mean I'm wrong. It just means we don't understand what we're reading the same way. And then I had a local policeman criticize me for being a liberal. All liberals are bad, basically. It scares me when a policeman doesn't like liberals. You would think that a policeman should, first of all, keep his ideas to himself. But second of all, I would think that you should try to like all people other than people that are breaking the law. Anyway, we'll continue on. From what I heard from all the talking heads on the left side of the aisle, the speech last night was completely filled with misdirections and, if you want to say it, lies. Things that where they kind of adjust the truth in the matter to sound better than it really was, that kind of thing. I heard from the other side that that it was absolutely perfect. It was a wonderful speech where we talked about how wonderful our economy is and that sort of thing. And I guess you have to, one has to admit that at least in numbers for certain people, the economy is doing well for them. It's not for me. My 401k is up 0.4%, and last week it was down 0.4. So I don't see it. I don't think a lot of the Americans who are of the, let's say, 100,000 or less income level, I don't think we're feeling it so much. As a matter of fact, if anything, we're feeling the fact that we haven't had a raise in, what, 20, 30 years, something like that. And I really think I don't mind. I'm getting along fine as long as I have enough money to meet my bills and keep my wife and doggy and self fed. And under a cover, under a roof, I'm pretty much okay. I would love to be multimillionaire, I guess. I really don't know that I would. I would like to have a little bit more money so that we could do some things, some travel things. But it's not going to break my heart if I don't get to. I'm going to try the best I can to be a good person. And I really think that is kind of the basis of the current liberal movement. Try to do your best to be a good person, to advocate for the poor, to advocate for the people that have disease or injury that they really have to pay for, and the way they pay for it is, if they don't have health insurance, they have to go through the emergency room, and then you and I are paying for it. I don't mind, as long as they're taken care of. But that's kind of the progressive way of thinking. And I can hear one of my great friends. I've only been twice on Facebook. I've had people unfriend me, and one of them now is a very good friend, and he and I are on absolutely the opposite side, but we've learned to talk to each other, and we understand the other person going to disagree with us, so we agree to disagree. And you know, that's kind of a trite saying, but it works. Anyway, I'm going through my little my phone to see some of the things I typed up last night. It's interesting. Sometimes when I go through my phone, I find things that I typed up last night or the night before. I find things that I have no idea what I was trying to say. Matter of fact, I'm sure some of these things had spell correct that made them wrong. But anyway, one of the things that we were just touching on is the problem of the rising wealth of the top, let's just use the term 1%. I don't know if it's 1% or not, but the rising wealth of those people are making it more and more easy for them to buy the politician they want. I'm a little concerned with the Democratic Party deciding to change the rules, which will now allow Mr. Bloomberg in. I personally like Mr. Bloomberg. I like what he did for New York. I like his attitude. I like that he's green. I like that he's for better health for everyone. I like most of the things he stands for, but I'm a little concerned that a man with as many billions of dollars that he has, somehow or other, the Democratic Party seems to have adjusted their rules for the debates. And the only reason I can see is that they want to allow him to come in and be in the debates. More power to him, I guess. But I don't like the fact that you can buy the government you want. We've already got a guy in office right now that buys the government he wants. And I think, personally, My wife used to say he's never going to leave office, and I used to tell her, "You're crazy. He's going to have to leave office." But the more I listen to him, the more I worry that he doesn't want to leave office. He wants to be a king, it sounds like. And the other thing, and I've sent and called our representatives on this, I really believe that our Republican Party is the party of yellow. They are totally cowardly about. I think if it were in the other way, and when I ran for office, I would have, if I had disagreed with something that my administration wanted, I think I would have been brave enough to say it. But then I ran for office kind of late in life, and I really didn't care. I wanted to do the right thing. Right now, it looks to me like the Republican Party only wants to do the Trump thing and doesn't care about right or wrong. If you disagree, 740-383-9944, you're more than welcome to get on the air. I also, which does remind me, I got a message from a local person who said I ought to give equal time because I can't remember why, but I had mentioned, I had Mike it was about a week ago, Mike Larson, who's running for office. And I pointed out to this person, I've given on the air, I've said anyone, any of the candidates who would like to call in and have time on the air, you're more than welcome to call. I've also talked to two of them in person and told them what the phone number here is and that they can call. Now, Mr. Jordan, I did send a message to his office telling him he could call in anytime he liked. So I've covered that base. I can't do any more. I can't drag them out of their office or where whatever and say you have to call me, because they don't have to call me. And that some of those rules have gone by the way. They're no longer required by law that you give equal time. But it gets a little confusing. But anyway, that's where we are on that. I really believe we are starting to lose our democracy because of the rising wealth. We're becoming more and more an oligarchy where people with money run the show. And I don't see how anybody can deny that. If you can, please call me and tell me why I'm wrong. I'd love to know that. Another thing that we're doing, and this goes along with the same thing. If you get in power, you can gerrymander your district however you want to do it. If you happen to be in power on, I think, the every 10 years. We apparently set in law that we were going to stop our gerrymandering here in Ohio, but apparently somehow or other they technically figured a way so that they don't have to do it until 2021. So it'll be after the election. So I don't know. If you want good government, I think you better think long and hard about who you're going to vote for this coming, 271 days from now, something like that. All right, so gerrymandering is something I think we have to get rid of. We need to get rid of it for both parties. We need to find a way. I kept saying to people, we ought to just do it based on the borders of the county. But that doesn't work. And I've had people explain to me why that doesn't work. But anyway, let's find a way to make it even. I also... I'm getting a little crazy in my old age. I think we ought to do away with the Electoral College. That sounds a little crazy. But I also think we ought to reconsider having a Senate that is run by two people in each state. Now, I know why they started it that way, but we've come a long way since they started it that way. And now we have people in Wyoming who are representing the same number of people that live in Los Angeles, and we only have two people to govern or to be senators in the whole state of California. It just doesn't make sense. It isn't one person, one vote. It isn't a rule that actually encourages anybody to vote. Well, it just isn't one person, one vote. Okay. One of the other things that I've been fighting for a long time is racism. And we all have it to some degree. I don't care if you're black, white, pink, or purple. We have some form of racism. But there are ways to fight it. And it's basically, you may not think of yourself as a racist. I really don't think of myself as a racist, but I do notice that people are black and that I'm white, and I have more friends, many more friends that are white than are black. And I'm certain that has to do, well, first of all, of being an old white man with the privileges that we have been given down through the past couple of centuries, a little more than that. I think we need to if a good person would fight that, I would think. If you're not fighting against that, well, first of all, you all know that I'm an agnostic. Some people call me an atheist, but I like to think of myself more as an agnostic. I also think of myself as a person that follows Christian ideals. I was brought up as a Christian. I was brought up as a Methodist minister's son. I know the Bible pretty darn well. I try to follow the New Testament Jesus and the things that he said and the parables that he passed down. And I think there's just a lot of good human being thought there. And that's what I try to follow. And I think it would make us all a lot better if we would try to find a way to be a good person. And I mean a good person in regards to 99% of our religions in the whole world have very similar things that they consider good. Taking care of the poor is quite often that way. Not stealing is quite often that way. Not coveting is one of those rules that's in most. And I think we need to find a way to get to the positive side of being a human being rather than always pointing out the negative side of, well, you did this, so I can do that. That's just, well, first of all, it's what a 13-year-old would say, and or less. And it's just not a good way to further the human race. And we are all human in the human race. If we're not, call me in too, because I'd like to know if you're not in the human race. Anyway, but some of the ways that you can fight racism, you expand your associations. Get to meet people that are Asian. Get to meet people that are African American. Meet Indian, American Indians, Native Americans. Just expand your association. You don't have to go out and start attending NAACP meetings just because you want to associate with black people. You should want to do that anyway. We're all the same. Look at everybody's face. They had a mother and a father just like you do. Expand your associations. Learn about all the contributions that all the different races have devoted to all of us. America would not be as strong as she was if we did not have a multitude of races in our population. Everyone brings their own strengths, and we need to build on everybody's strengths. Again, not caring what their race, not caring what their religion, not caring what their sexual preference is. Now, I know that that's a tough one for a lot of people. And I keep hearing about the quotations in Leviticus that kind of seem like they're saying that homosexuality is wrong. Well, first of all, I've read most of those that say that, and they, in the same breath, they say that if you wear clothes of two different cloths, you should be stoned to death. So remember, those were done in a day 2,000 years ago, where people thought differently. And again, we have to learn to think and apply it to the way you are and the way the other person that's considering it is. We need to keep growing. That's why I've always been proud to be a progressive. My father was, he preached the gospel as a historically critical preacher. He allowed history to move forward. Maybe there wasn't an ark. And if you stop and think about Noah's Ark, my wife is always telling me, what happened to all those innocent children that they let drown? Yeah, that's a good question. What happened to them? Now, the next question is, you only had one or two of each species, a male and a female. And we know that that causes degeneration of the species. That doesn't seem right either. Anyway, time has passed where we believe that the world is flat. Now, I know there still are some people who believe that. I don't know how, but anyway. You need to force yourself. I mean, even if you don't really have any friends that you know of that are of a different race or a different religion, you need to force yourself to go out and find those people. You don't want to make it obvious, I don't think, but I think you can go out and allow yourself to intermix with people of different thoughts and try not to judge them. That's one of the things that bothered me about the local minister and the local policeman telling me how wrong I was about posting that church sign on Facebook. My first thought was, well, that's it. From now on, I'm canceling everybody on my friends list that I disagree with. Well, that doesn't seem right either. Doesn't seem very progressive, doesn't seem very democratic, doesn't seem very Christian. So I decided, no, I'm just going to keep on. I'm going to think about it. And I think my answer to the minister was okay. He believed that I was making a political comment, and I was not. Anyway, let's see. Oh, I lost myself here. We need to educate ourselves about facts. We hardly can answer questions about what our white forefathers did. I'm disturbed to see when, Colbert goes out on the street and interviews young 30-somethings and asks them what was the Magna Carta, and they think it was a giant car that had a magnum of wine in it or something. We need to educate ourselves not just on our old white guy stuff, but we need to educate ourselves on all the contributions of the Asian Americans, of the Black Americans, of the Italian Americans. Educate yourself. You don't have to go out and buy books on all this and become an expert on all this, but educate yourself to know that there were people of all races, all religions, all creeds, everything, that have contributed to the United States of America being a great country. I don't think we're going to be great again. I think we still are great. And I think saying great again means at some point we weren't very good. I think that's stupid. Another thing that will help you, I think will help you in your life of getting moving forward, don't accept those generalizations about races and about religions and stuff like that. Those conversations that you hear in the bar, those conversations where you don't stand up for what you believe because you don't want to get in a disagreement with somebody. I don't. My wife is really good at doing this. I'm not so good at it, but she will tell somebody, I think you're wrong on that. I don't think that actually happened. Whereas I would probably just ignore it, which doesn't help either. Ignoring somebody else's ignorance is not helpful to that person. But criticizing them is also not helpful. You might just explain that, well, I understood this to be this way. And listening to the other person, they may have a good idea why it's that way. Okay? excuse me. Just get over listening and accepting that all welfare mothers are just in it for the cash. I have a wife who is a welfare worker, and I will guarantee you she can make more cases about why it's helpful than that there are welfare mothers. There might be one or two. There might be a spattering of them. But those people that say all people that are on welfare are lazy, well, I'll just say it. They're ignorant. All right. Make sure you use your critical thinking. When somebody says something, make sure in your mind, you don't have to say it to them, but in your mind you're thinking about, well, they said this. I believe that. And they also said this, and I don't believe that. And this is why I don't believe that. Use that critical thinking. That's what makes human beings a little bit different than apes. And there are some apes that I'm absolutely convinced are smarter than humans. Well, maybe not smarter. but use that critical thinking. Remember, anytime you start shooting your mouth off about how somebody else is doing something wrong, remember that we're all Americans. We're all Americans. Everybody that's listening to me right now, well, I don't know. With streaming, somebody over in Europe might be listening to us, or in Africa or Asia. But most of those of us who are listening to my voice right now are Americans. And we all were born of mothers. We were all born of mothers at some point, and fathers. Even if you don't know who they are, or even if you were born in a petri dish, there had to be an egg and sperm. So most of us have had people that cared a great deal about us, and I never quite understand why we get so many angry young children. And I think part of it is because we seem to be ignoring them a little bit. I know it as a grandpa, I love my grandchildren, but I can't be with them for longer than 3 or 4 days. But we do need to listen to them. They have things to say. They may not have the vocabulary to say them the way we want to hear them or the way we understand them, but they do have things to say. And listen, maybe you can help. There's no sense in harboring anger and hatred for something that you don't know what they're talking about. Remember, please vote, by the way, this coming 270 some days away from now when we have an election. If the world honestly wants I mean, if America honestly wants a person as corrupt as the president that we currently have, then that's the way it should be done. That's why I would like to do away with the Electoral College, because I don't want it to be, I want it one vote, one, you know, every person gets a vote. But make sure that you do vote, and make sure that the end result is not about me. The end result is not about you. The end result that we get is about us as an Americans. And us is a pretty strong word. Now, you can do us as the Senate has done, and their us is with a little u, and the us I'm talking about is a capital U, us, the American people, all people. And I think you should vote, and I think politicians should vote with courage. And we have not been able to find that right now. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on again. If you vote because it's expedient to keep your job, I think you're a coward. And I will say it to your face. As a matter of fact, I have emailed a few people that I thought they were cowards. And I just put that word on, coward, and left it alone. I know I shouldn't judge, but I did. I thought last night about this, about the voting thing in 2020, and I really believe, and I know there are a lot of people that will disagree with me, but I really believe the vote will be good over evil, or evil over good, depending on how it works out. And I understand also that evil is in the eyes of the beholder, as well as good. So your good might be different than my good. But I believe, I don't know if you've ever read the words that were said by our president in that bus at the very beginning of his campaign, or when he was kind of caught. If you read those words and look at those words, I'm not shocked by much of anything, but I was shocked, especially coming from a person that you selected as your president. And I'm saying you because it wasn't me. There's that guy, Peter Finch, on that, I can't remember the name of that movie, but he yells out the window, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it." The guy's name in the movie, I think it was Howard Beale or something like that. That's kind of the way I feel right now. I'm not going to take it, and I don't believe that too many people that I know are going to take being rolled over by a bunch of cowards and sycophants. And I think that's what we have right now in our Senate. And I do understand that the House voted basically bipartisan to impeach the president. But there was apparently no call for unanimity. Nobody was told, if you don't vote to impeach him, we're going to make sure that you get somebody to run against you in your campaign. I don't know whether the Republicans have or not. I've heard a lot of talking heads say that they were told that. You heard the very ugly speech about somebody in the Republican Party said that their head would be on a pike if they didn't vote the way they ended up voting. Well, I'm not sure if that's true. And I don't think anybody is terribly sure about it, so I'm going to leave that alone. But I don't think that we should be frightened to vote the way we believe is right. And so many of the Republicans lately have been coming out saying, well, we know he did wrong things and we didn't like what he did, but it's not impeachable. Well, if that wasn't impeachable, apparently nothing is, and that's what they're saying. if you remember back when, I can't remember the guy's name, at the very beginning of the Trump thing, one of the statements was their intention was to deconstruct the administrative state. And I think they're just deconstructing everything right now, let alone the administrative state. And I think we need to get back to a situation where you can count on what somebody says. We no longer can count on anything said by this president. And our allies in Europe and all over the world can't count on him. So I think we need to get back to a position where you can, when a person gives you their word is their word, and you don't have to have reams and reams of laws to make them stick to it. I truly believe that after this president is gone, the next president is going to have to come up with a lot more solid laws about what happens if a person refuses a congressional subpoena. I think we're going to have to come up with some solid rules about whether the president is above the law or not above the law. I kind of believe that that will happen, at least to some degree, I hope. When you take away all the norms and the civility that we've had in this country, the norms that we had about honoring a subpoena, about all the different things that were expected as good senators and congressmen and judges, all those things have kind of gone by the wayside. And when you take away those norms and civility, the world just is going, and this is what David Brooks said, and he is a conservative talk guy. When you take away norms and civility, the world is just dog eat dog. Now, do you want to live in a life like that? If you're my age, you don't care because you're not going to live that long. But think about your grandkids. You don't want them living in a world like that. And this sounds odd coming from a person who is a agnostic. We need morality. And I think most agnostics know what morality is. And it just doesn't seem like right now many of our Christians do know what morality is. Another thing I'd like to point out, and I think I kind of did earlier, we get stronger as we add more people to our success story. Not when we squeeze these people out through poverty and through immigration laws and stuff like that. Now, of course we have immigration laws, and I'm sure that we need immigration laws to some degree, but not as punitive. We need them to control the mechanism. And I really think we get stronger. Now, nobody wanted the Italians here back in the day. Nobody wanted, if you go back further, nobody wanted the Germans here. We've all been discriminated against at one point or another by somebody. So, anyway. I'm trying to look up if I had any other things to talk about. Well, I hope that you will look at last night's State of the Union address with your critical eyes and understand the few things that I heard. The Washington Post is keeping tabs on how many lies this or how many adjusted truths this president is telling. And I think he probably added a whole bunch in last night's State of the Union. And I'd like to give him credit and give him a chance. But it seems to me like he doesn't seem to want a chance. He just wants to rule. Anyway, have a great day. You're listening to A Progressive Life, and this is Glenn Coble. We hope you tune in tomorrow.
107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For Ohio State Senator Sherrod Brown on presidential contender and governor John Kasich.
On the other side, just a second.